From the Gospel of Matthew, the 13th chapter. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lures of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruits and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Now, I will be the first to admit that I don't know anything about farming, or gardening either, for that matter. I've never lived on a farm. I've never participated in any sort of farming lifestyle. I was pretty much the only kid in my school growing up that wasn't involved in 4-H or FFA. I know a few things, but not much. I know that some people raise dairy cows and some people have beef cattle, and those are like different things. And I know what a tractor is. I'm also aware there's something called a combine, but I don't really know what that's like or what it looks like. But even with just this meager farming knowledge, there's one thing I know for sure. Crops grow better in better soil. That if you want to have the most harvest, it seems to me that you would take care to plant most of your seed in good soil, ideally in great soil with good nutrients, and not just scatter it about a parking lot or a pile of weeds. Yet the farmer in our scripture seems to take a different approach. This evening, we read one parable, a story that Jesus tells. Now, throughout the Gospels, Jesus is always telling these parables. And in them, the characters like the farmer in the story often do the unexpected. Jesus' other parables have shepherds leaving 99 sheep in the wilderness to go look for one that's lost. They have a boss that pays workers the exact same wage despite all the workers for working for different time. So I guess we really shouldn't be too shocked when we read this parable and see some questionable farming practices on display. But for some reason, this farmer in the parable really gets to me, because I feel like it would be so easy to solve his problem of where the seeds are falling. Want a good harvest? Well, then just throw the seeds on the soil and don't throw them on the rocks or the road or the weeds. Now, despite having heard this parable for years, part of me wonders every time I read it why it doesn't just go like this. And Jesus told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. He found a good patch of soil. He threw his seeds there, and the seeds brought forth grain. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." And then later, Jesus could have explained the parable to the disciples, although he wouldn't have actually needed to, and he could have told them that God the sower gives God's word, the seeds, on those who are ready and willing to hear it, and that those people will grow and produce a harvest. So the disciples then should just kind of strive to be good soil. And then I could just tell you this evening to receive the word of God as good soil and share it with other good soil, and we could all just go home. But unfortunately, that's not this parable. So the question is, why not? What are we learning about God from a sower who sows seeds without inhibition, throwing them all over creation and not just on the good soil? Well, this parable shows us that God is not just a God concerned with good soil. The parable shows us that God's love and mercy and grace are so great that God is willing to take a chance on all. Because you never know when some good soil will appear. So God sows the good news all over the place, knowing that probably not all will accept it, but with a love so great that all might potentially find some good soil. Now, this type of sower in reality is really good news for us, because even if we don't want to always admit it, we are in fact not always good soil. In fact, we can probably find evidence of all sorts of soil in our lives. Sometimes we're like the path and we completely ignore or fail to recognize the work of God in our lives. Sometimes we're like the rocky soil and we get really excited about our faith and we grow really fast in a short time. But once that thing that we were excited about is over, we dry out because we failed to establish any roots. Or sometimes we're like the weedy soil and we let the worries of the world and the lure of wealth and power overcome us, and we turn away from God. And then finally, every once in a while, we are good soil, and we hear the message of God, and we experience the work of God in our lives and in the lives of those around us, and we respond by growing in our faith. But that doesn't happen all the time. Yet that doesn't mean God isn't trying when we aren't particularly good soil. Because the message of this parable is not be good soil so God will care enough to work in your life. Rather, the message of this parable is that our God is so generous with grace and so extravagant in love that God is always at work, even when we're hardened or rocky or thorny. God just keeps sowing. And this is the hope for our lives and the hope that we find in this story. We aren't always going to have it all together. We aren't always going to look like model disciples, but God doesn't give up on us. God keeps sowing seeds of grace and love and mercy as God turns our hard and weedy and rocky soil into good soil, ready to produce an abundant harvest. So then the actions of the sower in our parable may seem outlandish for the average farmer, but they're not outlandish for our God. For our God, who's extravagant in love, abundant in grace, and risk-taking in mercy. And while this is good news for our own lives, we also must ask ourselves what this parable tells us about how we're supposed to live our lives. Because even when Jesus explains this parable, there really isn't a clear message. Like we said, Jesus doesn't say, just go be good soil. Instead, the parable is just as much about the sower as the soil. And as people today, we're trusted with sharing the good news of Jesus. So we become the sowers too. And so for the message for us today is so generously. We need to be as generous in our sharing of the gospel as the sower in this parable. Not just spending our time looking for good soil or hoarding what we have, but sharing generously because we never know when we might find some good soil amongst the hard or rocky or thorny soil. This parable calls us not to play it safe and only share the message of Jesus when we're confident that it will be well received, but to take risks to share with those who might seem hardened or rocky or thorny on the outside, but might have some good soil within them that's yearning to hear the message of God. Now, I know this isn't easy. In fact, it's difficult for us to share about God at all. And if we're going to do it, it seems like the best way and the least scary way is to wait until we're pretty sure that somebody is in the good soil range, that they're waiting and ready to hear about God, that we're pretty sure that they would say yes to an offer of prayer, or might even bring up a conversation about faith. Yet that's not what the parable is calling us to do. Instead, we're called to share God generously with those who we think will accept it, and with those who are a little hard or weedy or rocky. Because you never know when you might find some good soil hidden among the path or on the rocks or in the weeds. Because we never know who is searching, who is looking to respond, who needs to hear the good news of Jesus. We don't know where there could be good soil. Good soil surprises us. My last church before I moved here was located in the downtown of a small town. We didn't have much green space at all. We had a building that was bordered by alleys and streets. We had sidewalks all around. We had a small parking lot that had a garage that had been built off of it for storage for things at the end of the parking lot. However, one summer we learned that we did have some literal good soil. Because one Sunday, in the tiny strip of dirt that was in between the garage and the parking lot, a tomato plant popped up. And it grew real tomatoes that we actually ate. Good soil was there, and we didn't even know it. And there's good soil in our hearts and the hearts of others, even when we don't know it. So yes, this parable is a little outlandish. This is probably not how one should actually go about farming or gardening. But you know what? There's good soil out there hiding, waiting to receive seeds, waiting to produce a harvest. It exists in the hearts of people we interact with each and every day. So sow generously, to share God's love and grace and mercy generously. Because we have a God who shared his love and grace and mercy generously with us. We have a God who sent his Son to live among us, to show us what it meant to share and live good news. And on that last night, when Jesus was with his disciples, he gathered them around a table and he took bread and he gave thanks to God and he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body and it's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later when the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to God and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for each and every one of you that you might receive forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Eternal God, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.